Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. And we're on chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. And right now, let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless the service. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise your holy name because you have shown us in your word how to be pure and to be the ultimate Christian, to become one with you more and more every day. Lord, show us more this evening. Anoint the tape, the preaching of your word. Open every heart to receive. And when I say heart, I mean the spirit. To receive everything from you that you prepared for us in the beginning, before the beginning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, now, let's begin with chapter 6. In the King James, and then we'll expound.
Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed.
Okay, now go into mine.
Christians who are slaves should give their masters full respect so that the name of God and his teaching will not be shamed.
Now, a lot of people think that slaves is wrong, having slaves. But the Bible tells that it's not wrong. You know, you'd have to just learn you either have to receive what the world tells you about slaves or what the Lord says. There's a lot of people that want to be slaves. We're either the slave of Satan or we're the slave of the Lord, okay?
Amen.
Now, Satan bought you with a bunch of lies, but the Lord bought you with his blood. And he expects you to be pure and holy, purify yourself. And he wants everyone to be his children. He wants to be your heavenly father. And he wants you to be sons and daughters of his. And so, you know, the Jews were slaves to the blacks, to the Egyptians. The Egyptians are black people. That's Africa. And, you know, they keep saying, a lot of the black people say, well, we're always been slaves over here in the United States. Well, the Jews were slaves longer than the blacks were. The Jews were slaves for hundreds of years. How many years?
400.
400 years. And this country is just, 200 years old. So I would say that the Jews were slaves much longer than the blacks, right?
Right.
And so, you know, they should, if they want to talk about slavery all the time, well, then talk to us Jews, right?
Right.
Not the blacks. We're twice as much the slaves. And there are laws regarding owning slaves in the Bible. Some people want to be owned, so they would go to a slave market and buy them. And if you buy them, they belong to you. And in the Jewish law, that if any of these slaves have children, they belong to the master too, the head of the one that bought them. I mean, I don't like saying it this way. This is a bad comparison, but I'm saying it as though, you know, Jews. If we bought a dog, I mean, if it has puppies, they're ours too, right?
Right.
Or if we have cows, the calves are ours. Well, they say also, the Bible says, God said, if they have children, they're yours also. They can't just lay around, right?
Right.
So we look at it like that and say, well, God, man, we don't like that. Are you going to argue with God? All right? Now, who do you think you are? You know, that you can argue with God. What are you going to argue with him when he's casting you into hell? He doesn't like people that are offended with what he has laid out for it to do. All right? Well, we don't have any slaves here in America. The whole America is in slavery to the government. Amen?
Amen.
And they're the ones that are trying to make everybody believe that it's wrong to own slaves. Now, I don't own any slaves myself, personally. And I don't like to think of myself owning slaves because the word has been blackened so much. Or it's a bad word now, slavery. But slaves, according to the Lord's word, can be set free in a period of years. But if they don't want to go, if the master is real good to them and they're taking care of their wife and kids and themselves and all the other things, feeding them and clothing them and housing them, and they're very nice to them, they don't want to leave, some of them. And so there's things that you do that way. So they devote their whole life. They give their life to the master. Okay, well, anyway, we don't practice slavery anymore. We're just slaves of the Lord because he bought us with his blood and we belong to him. And so slaves are to do what their masters tell them. But this Bible, the Jews that had written it knew that there wasn't anything wrong with slavery because they'd been practicing it for many hundreds of years themselves. That's why when Abraham and Sarah never had a child, they said, well, we'll have one of our slaves have the child because it'll be all the slaves' children belong to me. So maybe that's the way the Lord wants us to have a son, is through the slave, because the child will be mine, Sarah said. Okay? That was the law. So they had this child, and it belonged to Abraham. So people wonder, well, then they didn't really have faith. Well, it was the law, and so she really wasn't that far out of order, in a sense, because she felt it could have been her child, as long as it came from Abraham. Just like if I had a dog and it had puppies, and the puppies are going to be mine, all right?
Yes.
So the puppies will inherit this house and, you know, the backyard there and whatever, even though we don't have dogs in our backyard. All right? And so you're calling slaves dogs? No. Jesus calls the Gentiles dogs, people that don't believe in God. And am I supposed to apologize for the gospel? No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation to those that believe it, though. Okay? But now the Gentiles can get out of doghood and become, you know, one with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
But only if they believe and are not offended with the Word of God or the things that the people do that are required by the people of God. If you get offended at that, well, then you're offended at God. And you dasn't do that. Okay? That's for your own good, I'm telling you. All right, so let's go on. Onward.
King James. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. But rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit.
What is the benefit? Well, it's the power of God in your life here, communion with the Lord. It's being able to communicate to him with your spirit, and for him to communicate to your spirit. If you've reached that point in Christianity yet, and also, yes, to be conformed to Christ so that you can be like him and be with him in the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and to be sharing in his glory and in everything that he owns, which is everything. So if that isn't enough, well then, what do you want him to do? Throw in an ice cream cone or something too? Huh? What else do you want? He takes care of us here too. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else? Okay, read mine now.
If your master is a Christian, it is no reason to be disrespectful. You should work all the harder because you are helping another believer, a brother, by your efforts.
Yeah, the Greek says brother. Some people say another believer, but the Greek, the original Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews, says brother. You're helping a brother because you're a brother in faith, because he believes like you believe. That joins you together as brother. Or brother and sister. Okay, then what? Or mother and father. Brother and sister. Okay, then what?
King James, these things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings.
Okay, I read mine.
Teach these truths, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. Some false teachers may deny these things, but these are the sound, wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are the foundation to have a godly life. Anyone who teaches anything else different is both conceited and ignorant. Such a person has an unhealthy desire, like doting about questions and strifes of words, arguing, which causes envy, strifes, railings, imaginary things. They like to quibble over the meaning of words. This starts arguments ending in jealousy, fightings, slander, and evil suspicions. These kind of people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they don't tell the truth. To them, the gospel is just a way to get rich.
Okay. They in the original Greek, it says, to them, religion is just to get make money, to get rich. But it's actually the gospel, all right? They use the gospel because the gospel is not a religion. It's salvation, okay? So I changed it. And don't anybody be saying that I'm rewriting the Bible. One of the brothers in the church said that last night or the night before. It was reported to me. I'm not rewriting the Bible. I'm just explaining it. So don't get it into other people's heads. They're going to think we're some kind of a cult if you say something like that, because I would never dare to rewrite the Bible. I'm just telling you, explaining it to you, okay? I didn't write the Bible. And I certainly am never going to attempt to rewrite it. I'm just explaining it to you. So don't puff me up more than I already am. And I'm not puffed up. Okay. All right, then what?
Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness.
In other words, richness, you know, that the gospel or the, is for to, they, all they want it to be is just something to make them rich. Okay, then what else?
From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
Okay, read what I said there.
Yet true salvation with contentment is the wealth that is great.
See, they say sometimes true religion. I say true salvation, okay. Is what?
True salvation with contentment is the wealth that is great.
Right, that's better. Okay, I didn't rewrite it, but I know that's what he meant. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
After all, we didn't bring anything with us when we came into the world, and we certainly are not able to carry anything out of the world when we go, when we die. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into destruction and ruin.
Okay, go into the King James.
And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
Yeah, let's be content with food and clothing, amen?
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. Amen? So I didn't write that. I'm just, explaining it a little bit better. Huh?
Yes.
In today's language, of course. All right, what else?
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Yeah, in ruin. Perdition, sin, is ruin, ruination, destruction. Okay, what else?
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet it after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Okay, now read my...
For the love of money is at the root of all kinds of evil.
It's there at the very root of every kind of evil there is. Okay, then what?
And some people craving money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. but you, Timothy, belong to God.
Okay, now read King James.
Okay. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Okay, read mine now.
But you, Timothy, belong to God. So run fast from all these evil things, and follow what is right and good. Pursue a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, that is, for what we believe.
Hold on. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the things that we have believed and we have taught you. Okay? That's faith. We fight for the things that we believe. Amen?
Amen.
Let's fight the good fight of faith. In what? The things that we believe in, the things that we taught you. Okay, then what?
Hold on tight to the eternal life which God has given you, which you have confessed very well before many witnesses.
Okay, now King James.
I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, read now, Mike.
And I command you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey his commands with all purity. Then no one will be able to find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. For at the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Okay, now King James.
Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
Okay, read mine.
He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant.
And that's why we have to be in him if we never want to die. Okay?
Amen.
So because we have to be in his body, and he has to be in us. Okay? We are his body. And he alone is the one that's not going to die. So if we're not in him, you're going to die and go to hell. All right? That's what he's saying. Then what? Go ahead, read what I say.
He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No one has ever seen him, nor ever will, only in Christ.
Yeah, we can see him in Christ, okay? And we live forever in Christ, amen?
Amen.
Only in Christ. There's only two bodies, Adam's, the old man, and the new Christ, the new man. Amen?
Amen.
We have to be in the new man, in Christ. He is the... We can only live in him. Otherwise, you die and die a miserable death forever. The human soul is going to spend eternity someplace. That means going to go someplace forever. There's only two places, and one is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and number two is the pit of hell, which is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And people get tired. Some people get tired of hearing that. They don't get tired of listening to rock and roll, but they get tired, which is meaningless and is just worthless, and watching other meaningless things, but they get tired of hearing about heaven and hell. That's a problem for them. It doesn't, but I have to do everything I can to convince them of it. And then if they willingly shine it on, then there'll be no excuse for them. They've been told. Okay, what else?
To him be honor and power forever. Amen. Tell those who are rich in this world...
Okay, now go into the King James.
Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches.
Okay, now read mine.
Tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud, and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone.
Right, because once you die, you can't take it with you, right?
Right.
And we don't live long. It's just like we're vapory, shadowy, grassy. Okay? We're like vapors. We appear for a moment and then we're gone. We're like a shadow that vanishes in the air. We're like grass that springs up during the day and then the sun comes out and wilts it. You say, well, I'm young. I was young yesterday, too. It was just like yesterday. I can remember, I honest to God, remember the day I was born. I remember when I was born. You say, no. Well, maybe you're stupid, but I'm not. I do remember it. I was conscious, you know, and I remember it. I remember in the operating room. And I remember being, you know, looking at the ceiling because they had me, I guess, in a blanket. I really didn't know what I was. I thought maybe I'm a meal for somebody, or I was wondering. I wish they would have played soft music or something and said, we love you, we love you. But they weren't. They were just laughing. And I thought they were laughing because they were happy that they were going to eat me, whoever it was. I didn't see any human being around. But I didn't know if I was in the hands of friend or foe, or I didn't have any idea of what I was. And I remember, but I could see the lights above me as they were moving me around, or maybe a nurse or somebody had me in their arms, and they laid me on a table where there was I saw some metal tools. And then I blacked out for a while, but I remember that. The reason I think I remember it is because I was so frightened. Because, as I said, I didn't know if I was a head of cabbage or... But I didn't even know what a cabbage was, or some kind of a hamburger, you know, or some kind of a morsel that was delightful to somebody. All right? And so that's that. But, okay, go ahead.
In King James, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
Okay, read what I said.
Tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their trust must be in the living God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment.
Okay. Then what?
King James?
Mm-hmm.
That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen.
Okay, now we finish off with mine.
Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give generously to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they take hold of real life. Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. May God's grace, power be with you all.
Okay, now, yesterday I brought a message in regard to purifying yourself, being pure. And a lot of people, I know, didn't understand what it meant, but the Lord showed me how to explain it. The guy prayed to him. I wanted to know, you know, how to explain it better to everybody. And so he said, he was telling me to explain it this way. On the day that you, I knew what that meant on the very first day that I met the Lord. That was in an office in Beverly Hills. And the first thing he did is said, this is talking about, what I'm talking about is like, a deeper walk in the Lord is the only walk, that's the only walk that's going to be acceptable to the Lord, and sooner or later people are going to have to come to this kind of a walk. And what it is it's walking in communion with the Lord at all time. All right, so when the Lord, he wants to communicate us to communicate him with our spirit, and he wants to communicate to us with his spirit, to our spirit. And so the way that I know that to be true on the first day that he talked to me was that he shut my ears off, so that my mind off, temporarily. Now, he shut my ears off for the whole duration of the time that he was talking to me in there. And I couldn't hear in my my carnal ears, but I could hear inside my spirit. I couldn't even hear the sound of motorcycles and cars going outside, or their people's mouths were moving in the room, and I couldn't hear. And then all of a sudden, my soul, I've heard him talking into my spirit, which was dead at the time, but he was saying, "I am the Lord thy God. Stand up on your feet and tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die." And every time he was saying a word to me, it was like punching me inside my spirit. And so here is the Lord, who is the Spirit, was talking to my spirit. And my spirit has ear. I'm sure it has ears, because I could hear very plain the words of the Lord. And so at first, that's a problem with people. When I'm saying words to you, even from the Bible, your carnal mind goes into action. You're weighing out, am I going to receive this or not? And that's what I was doing too. Am I going crazy with my carnal mind? Because our minds are not capable of much. They're just made out of dirt like the rest of us, like the rest of our body. And so I'm saying, I guess I'm going crazy. So what I'm going to do is check out of this office here. I'm going to politely get out of here and just tell them I'm sick and I'm going. And in the office with me was six Los Angeles Police Department motorcycle cops, because they were part of an entourage that used to follow me around all over town, which I hired from Utter McKinley Mortuary. It's like a funeral escort, actually. And I rented the funeral limousine to drive in. You know, I had one of the funeral driver driving Bobby Jameson and myself around town. We had two motorcycles in front of the motorcade, and one on each side, and then two in the back. It was like people thought we were I was a king or something in there, because even the chief of police called me up and told me nobody is in the country is able to have a motorcade like that and to run lights like you're doing. Because the cops would go out to two cops in the front on the motorcycles and would stop all the traffic, and they'd start the lights going. No matter if the light was red or what, we'd go right in the middle of the street and go right through it. And then they'd just flag us on, and then we'd go through it. So the chief of police called me up and told me that I can't do that. Okay? I said, they're police officers. He said, and so there was a big argument there, and finally they let me do it, because I told them how dangerous it would be to this young person that I was promoting as entertainer, a singer, if we didn't have this motorcade, and that we just can't, you know, stop at lights and things like that. We have to go through. And then he kept insisting. I told him, look, if anything happens to this kid, I'm going to have your head on a charger, man. I'm going to take you right to the top. Now, you can't say that I'm not warning you. And then he came back and says, all right, Tony, you can do that, but just don't use the sirens anymore and the flashing lights, you know. And so I told him, okay, but we still did anyway. And so when we would go to the premieres, we upset Debbie Reynolds and on her premiere on the night, because we came up to the premiere right before her and stole all of her thunder, because we came in with lights and the flash of the cops and everything like that. And when we got out of the car, everybody was paying attention to us. And when she got out of the car, nobody was paying any attention to her at all. So, I mean, I did a lot of things like this before I was saved. And I was a self-willed person. I did whatever I wanted. I didn't care what the police wanted me to do. The Democratic Party was hiring me to do their promotions for whatever president was running for office. I mean, the whole Democratic Party. You people were in here when Theodore Chirac, I was talking to him on the phone a few weeks ago, right?
Right.
And he said, no, you weren't hired to do Kennedy. You were hired to do the whole Democratic Party. You heard him say that, right?
Yes.
Yes. And so I was like self-willed. I mean, the presidents, you know, I mean, they wanted me to do stuff for them and everything. And so I could have, to me, I was the king of the heap. No, everybody needed me, but I didn't need them. And so when I'm in the office here, I figured, well, I'm such a genius that I'm flipping out, all right? That this is, how I said, man, I've never heard anybody flip out like this because my ears shut off, my natural ears. And I hear this voice, you know, and I'm not at all thinking of God. I, you know, Bobby Jameson thought I was God, and he thought he was Jesus. And so it was that bad. And I didn't think so, but he did. And all other people in the industry would come up, band leaders, and they'd say, are you the Naz, the Nazarene? I said, no, I'm a chocolate-covered peanut. And because, and so, but I just really was a Weisenheimer, and I just, you know, I didn't care what anybody thought, and here this, I says, okay, I'm a genius, and I finally flipped. Geniuses flip out, and so I guess I'm supposed to go to the, you know, some kind of sanitarium or something and make a few wallets and purses and stuff like that, and maybe some string beads or whatever. And then I'll be okay, you know. There's some kind of therapeutic thing, I guess, in making wallets and purses and stuff like that, or saddlebags. And so I thought I'd do that, but I tried to get up, and the spirit came down on me. It was like a warm light. And I looked up in the ceiling to see if there's any warm lights, and I thought everybody's goofing on me, that there's a ventriloquist. But then I figured, how did he shut my ears off? And then I thought, you know, how is this voice going inside of me? And how is it that, you know, all these things are happening to me? I said, I got to get out of here to try to figure out what's going on with me, because our carnal minds always try to explain away what God is doing and what God is saying to us. Like, if I'm preaching the word to you, all the time that I'm talking to you, you're just weighing it out with your carnal mind. And the Lord is not, he cannot talk to carnal people. Because a carnal person cannot receive anything from the Lord, the Bible says, you know, and I couldn't. But when he started yanking my soul in and out of my body, then I knew it was God. He said, now tell him. And when he came down with such power, he's talking to my spirit all the time, which means this is the way, the only way that God really talks to people. He doesn't talk to your mind. He talks to your spirit. And if you're not, if you're trying to weigh out what he's trying to tell you, or if you're judging the Bible with your carnal Mickey Mouse, less than Mickey Mouse mind, well, then you're an error. You're really a heretic. You're really more stupid than I even thought you were. Because God doesn't talk to your ignoramus mind or try to appeal to you with carnal things. Oh, you say, well, you're just insulting to people. Well, so is the Lord, so don't feel bad, okay? And that's where I'm coming from, is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, you human beings, the way they are today, don't deserve to be talked to in any other way, because that's the way we really are. And I'm putting myself on the block by telling you that I was stupid also at one time. So you just have to pull out of your stupidity and just listen to let your spirit hear the Lord, and you talk to him with your spirit. Because God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so in order to be the highest ranking, pure person, to be purified, you have to get to the point to where you're not thinking with your mind, your carnal mind anymore, because it's worthless, no matter what you're thinking. Everybody, there's billions of people on the earth, and they all have a different opinion about this, and they have different opinions about that. And none of them are of any value, because God is not a God that you can figure out with your carnal mind. You have to talk to him in the spirit, and he talks back to you in the spirit. And if you haven't experienced that before, it's just because you have not come to the place in your life where you're spiritual yet. And therefore, that's why you never change from day to day. As a matter of fact, some people get much worse every day when they hear the Word of God, and they've explained it away and put it in different slots in their mind, and they park God here and they park him there, and so on. And those are the ones that are going to be terrified the moment that the Lord jerks your spirit out of your body, out of the husk that you're walking around in. And you're going to be sad then because you never tried to be spiritual. And you just think that, well, I'm grown up now, and so everything is routine. Let me tell you, in the Lord, it's not routine at all. There isn't anything routine, or that you've finally arrived. If the Lord has never talked to you in your soul, into your spirit, and when the Lord speaks to you in your spirit, and when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it isn't like da-da-da-da-da-da and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it is completely different. It's coming out of your spirit. All right, well, when the Lord was speaking to my spirit, and he says to do that, I knew then when the Lord started pulling the breath in and out of me, when I tried to get out of there, he says, now you know that I'm here. And the intelligence of God came down to where I knew. And I didn't even know the Bible. I'd never really picked it up before. I knew without a doubt that he knew not only every hair on my head, but he knew every fiber of the carpet in everyone's carpet on every floor in the world. That's how powerfully intelligent he is. And I knew that he knew every petal of every flower, every leaf, every vein in every leaf. That's how incredibly powerful he is. And so I was very knowledgeable of how powerful his brain is. It's beyond anything that I could even imagine. It's so elementary to him. He knows everything. He knows every grain of dirt and sand. What the purpose of him knowing all these different things is, I don't know, but it's his creation, and he loves his creation so much that he knows everything about it. And he also, every experience I've had with the Lord after that, I finally got it. He told me to tell him, and the room was full of these police officers, and I had an entourage of 18, 19 people following me around in Cadillacs and Lincolns in back of me, in back of the motorcade, and they were all in the office too, and motion picture stars, and other people too, other lawyers. My lawyer was there too, and this man wanted to give me a bunch of money. He wanted to buy into this singer that I was promoting, because it was a spectacular promotion that I did in the Billboard magazine, the trade magazines. And everybody in show business said they'd never seen anything that spectacular before. Nobody's ever spent that kind of money before. And we were hitting number one records on different ones. We were releasing records left and right, and they were all hitting number one. All over. I mean, the whole industry knows this. This isn't some fictitious thing that I'm talking about. Everybody wanted him. They wanted him on Ed Sullivan, the Red Skeleton Show, all these big major shows back then. And to you say, well, yeah, of course, you know, we don't think of that as anything, but the secular world does, okay? And of course, if you've never done anything in your life, it's always good, easy for you to minimize accomplishments of people in the world, but the Lord doesn't minimize it. He talks about Pontius Pilate and Caesar and kings and all these other people that were in the Bible that have done noteworthy things that are spectacular. And like Paul was doing spectacular things, but they were evil. And so when this happened to me, I did what he said, and it's a much longer story. And I've told it on tape before, and I've written it up, but not in as much detail as there is. And then when the Lord spoke to me again on the day, I kept looking, and I knew that he wanted me to go looking for the truth, for what God wanted me to do. And the bottom line of everything is that God wants me to talk to him in the spirit, and he wants to only, if you're not talking to the Lord in your spirit, you're not talking to the Lord. You're just talking with your lips, and you're just thinking carnally of what to say to him. And it really has to be heartfelt. And then I got saved, and he showed me visions of hell and heaven and hell. And I knew that if I looked up, I couldn't look up because I had so much sin on my soul. If I would have looked up, I knew I would have seen him, and I couldn't stand to see him because I knew there was sin on my soul. Nobody preached to me. I wouldn't listen to anybody. But the Lord visited me and made me do things that I could never have done before. I even argued with him with my carnal mind. I'll tell him, Lord, but let me tell him tomorrow. You know, I'll send him wires, telegrams, cables, whatever. Or I'll call up on the phone, but don't make me say it now because they're going to think I'm nuts. They're going to throw me in the nut house. I don't mind checking myself into the nut house, but I don't want somebody to commit me to, you know, the state mental institution with butterfly nets and these straitjackets and stuff like that, and for an ambulance to come and pick me up. And so I just really wanted to go to a private home, you know, like one of my friends did, Don Gibson, who wrote I Can't Stop Loving You and a bunch of other major hits. And he went to the sanitarium for, he had a bad drinking problem, and nobody thought evil of him because he was a genius, and everybody knew that I was too. And so I just figured, you know, ingenious to the world, to me now seems stupid, because there's no geniuses out there. Amen?
Amen.
So somebody discovered something that God did, and that makes them a genius. That's crazy. But anyway, then that was another time the Lord was speaking right to my spirit and showed me visions right into my spirit. And then another time is when God showed that I was supposed to be married to Sue. And that vision came, and it was right into my spirit. It wasn't into my mind. There's a whole lot of difference to having a dream and then a dream from God or a vision from God. This vision came right into my spirit. And when I was pushing myself up, because it showed Sue and myself kissing, and I was pushing, I says, no. I says, this is my Bible teacher. And I was quite a bad person before. You know, I was like a rounder. And I just said, my, I can't be kissing my Bible teacher. I mean, this godly woman. And it was. And I pushed myself up out of sleep. And while I was wide awake then, the vision just kept coming to me. And there was like clouds of, or like rings of kind of like smoke came around me, but it wasn't smoke. It just was the Holy Spirit saying, it's true, 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 it's true. And there was this like shaking in my soul. He was pushing that vision into my soul while I was wide awake. And it was like that into my soul. It made that noise. And I was wide awake. It was a mighty vision from God, and it was true. And after we got put together, we did the biggest work that's ever been done for God on the face of this earth. And that was when the Lord talked to my spirit. And I'm telling them that they don't know the spirit. And naturally, carnal people mock those that are speaking of the spirit, because it's foolishness unto them. Foolishness unto them that are going to hell. It's amazing how many satanic people are sitting right in the midst of people that are highly chosen and called by God. And then every other vision that I've ever had, the Lord spoke to me on many occasions, many times to rebuke me. And then the Lord appeared to me, and when he appeared to me, he was talking right to my spirit. He never trusted my carnal mind, and he doesn't like your carnal mind. He doesn't like your physical mind at all. You have to fold that up and put it away. And that's why you're not pure, is because, and you'll never reach purity in the Lord until you are talking to him in the spirit, with your spirit, and he is not talking to you in your spirit, because you think the things of God are foolish. And if that's what you think, you're going to hell. You know why? Because the Bible says so. They're foolishness unto those who perish, doesn't it?
Yes.
No, when the Lord was showing that vision to me and was ringing it into my soul, it was like a phone that's been off the hook for a long time when it just keeps making that real loud, piercing noise. But it was louder than that and more piercing than that, because it was right into my spirit. And as he was making that sound, and the vision of her and myself kissing turned from color, full color, to black, just like two wrought iron figures. Just our profiles. It was like on black, but it was like white, hot iron. And it just shimmered right into my spirit. And so people that have never heard the voice of the Lord, you may think that's real funny. You're funny. You're funny. And your family's funny. You're just a funny person. And the Lord knows how to make funny little people dance, because people like you are like little monkeys to the Lord. I thought I was pretty hot stuff, and I did something to be hot stuff. The whole world thought I was hot. What have you done in this world that makes you so hot? Did presidents ever ask you to do their promotions for you? Huh? No, and you know very good and well they never will. Because deep down you know you're at nothing. And people literally worship these presidents. And the Lord appeared to me. And the Lord showed me many visions, and they were all true. They've all come true. And to Sue, she had visions. She was healed. She saw angels filling up the room when she was dying in Dyer, Arkansas, in that little old house that she was living in. They had her on the front porch. She had tuberculosis. Then they put her in her bedroom at night, and the doctor came out and was talking to her mother and said, she can't last the night. She can't live through this night. And her mother and grandmother, her mother was saying, oh no, I can't let her go. I can't. And she said across the street there was a whole bunch of born-again Christians that were praying for her. And the woman that used to help clean the house told Sue's that we're praying for you across the street. And Sue could hear the gospel songs at night. This is when she was just a little girl. And she saw clouds filling up the room. And all of a sudden she saw a nail-pierced hand coming through the cloud and come down and touch her chest. And she was healed that night. And she hadn't eaten for days. And she said, I'm hungry. And so her uncle owned the little small store that Frankie Rhodes owns now over there. And she said she wanted some potted meat. And the grandmother piped up and said she can't have potted meat. And she wanted pickles. And the mother said, get it for her. She hasn't eaten anything. I'll just be glad to see her eat anything. I'd be happy to just if she eats something. So they opened up the store in the middle of the night, and they got it for her. The Lord healed her. And then her other uncle took her out, and her aunt was just married, and they had a little cabin up in the Ozark Mountains. They took her up there to recuperate because they had a cow and some chickens, and they had fresh eggs and milk. How anything like this, so supernatural, and that you're reaping the benefits from this church, how anyone could take this and be just wanting it to get over with so you can go about your stinking minuscule business, is more than I had ever could even imagine. I did, you know, people are so carnal. Some of you have heard Susie give that testimony before, right?
Yes.
And when she was out in the woods there, in the Ozarks, she saw Jesus coming back to earth like he will with both of his feet together, and he had a red robe on. And his hair was flowing up into the air, and there was a rainbow around him that had so many colors that she said she'd never seen that many colors in her life, and they were all living colors. And she saw signs and wonders, things that would be happening, different nations that would be rising up in the last days. And so this is a very supernatural work, and it's just amazing that some of the people that are your parents have never told you this, these truths of what really happened in this world. And there's so many other visions and signs and wonders that the Lord has shown Sue and myself that they're too numerous to ever mention in a gospel tract and on a tape. But I just want you to know that this message that I gave yesterday on in regards to purity is you're not pure when you're judging the things that are being said with your stupid carnal human mind, because it cannot receive the things of the Lord. And that's why so many people are so ignorant to the Spirit of the Lord, You've never, because you're so full of disbelief in your own ways and thinking that you do something because you cook something or you type a letter. It doesn't mean anything to the Lord. There are fantastic cooks in the world that are lost and are going to hell. Millions of them. Maybe billions of them. You're nothing if you're not in the Spirit of the Lord. You're a goat, you're chaff, you're a dog, you're a pig, you're a viper, a snake. You're vomit. And God wants you to know that. And if you ever picked up His Word and read it, you'd see it. And I will eventually get to these scriptures. I've read them before many times, but some of you are young people, and you've never heard them. And you don't know anything. But if the Lord has never talked to your spirit and communicated to you with the Spirit, then you're not a godly person. And when you're praying to the Lord, you have to pray in your spirit or He doesn't even hear you. That's as though you don't believe that He exists. And so, if I'm sitting across the room and you're talking to me and you're looking over at the wall over there instead of me, it's like you don't believe I exist or something. You're going to get me really uptight. Okay? Because people have never treated me that way in my life. And I've sat before kings, and I've been in the presence of kings, King Alfred Bongo of Gabon, Africa, the Sultan of Brunei, the richest man in the world, and the King Faisal of Saudi Arabia. And none of them have acted as silly and goofy as some of you young people in this church. They paid intense. The Lord communicated to my spirit saying, you have to be out of here in 5 minutes or you're going to be killed. I got out of there. I didn't know it. I guess the feds were on a coffee break. I moved out of the place within 3 minutes, and sure enough, they come busting in there after I was gone. And there was one of the men that they say looked so much like me, and they put him on the floor and put a gun barrel down his throat, and he says, I'm not Tony Alamo. So they made him show a ID. I give my life for the gospel. And you have people that are not spiritual, you're not giving up anything. What you're doing is sponging off the gospel. You're a user. Okay, now read what I've written tonight. It's just a small amount because I wanted to explain, if you really want to be pure, then if you're really pure, the Lord is speaking to you, your spirit. And you're not weighing it out in your mental, in your mind at all. Because the Lord is not the type of person that is rational to a human being. I mean, standing up in an office and start preaching in the middle of a business meeting about a singer is not rational, okay? It doesn't go along with the human rational mind, okay? It's irrational, right?
Right.
Or going up to people and holding your hand up in a park and saying, I'm a Jew washed in the blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the entire park of Jews comes roaring at me like many lions, hundreds of them, and kept telling me I'm not a Jew. They don't want to believe that a Jew would believe in Jesus Christ. I did that because the Spirit told Susie for me to say it. And they were shaking their fist at me. And there was a supernatural thing that happened. There was a man with a crew cut. He was about 6'1" or 6'2". He looked like he was about 55 or 6 years running at us, kind of a big guy. And I put my hand up and said, the blood of Jesus against you, and I swear before God, like a flash bulb or like a ball of light went into his face, and I could see it going through the air. And when it hit his face, he turned away and started running the other direction. foolishness to your rational mind, you'll never be a Christian. If you don't believe these supernatural things, Lord, if you don't believe that, you wouldn't believe that God just spoke a word and created the heavens and the earth and made light and separated the light from darkness and made every creature. You wouldn't believe that either. That's not rational for just to speak something out and it happens, huh? God is not a rational God. He's irrational. You have to always remember that. You can't rationalize. Anybody that starts rationalizing God or thinking that you want him to be rational, I know I'm talking to an idiot. All right? Say, well, you're really good at calling names, Tony. Yes, I am. So is God. I like to be like him. It doesn't make any sense. For me, that was just such a rounder in the world to be married to like a pure woman, 9 years older than me, very dignified, and very no nonsense whatsoever. And I was just loaded with nonsense and carnal, rational thinking, which was stupidity. I was full of stupidity. And when she was getting the vision from the Lord about us being married, she got it first. She says, "Nah, he's too young. He just got saved." And she says, "I've been saved all these years and I don't want to lose my soul, Lord." And the Lord answered, "Yes, but he's strong." And that means strong in the Lord. And fearless. He didn't say fearless, but he gave me enough confidence in my spirit to make me fearless. I don't fear death. And I've been threatened with death, and I've been shot at, and I've been stoned and everything. And, you know, some of you people that think of Christianity as funny, it's because you have never gone through any fire. And it's obvious that you'll never stand during the tribulations, when the tribulations really get hot. Okay, start reading what I wrote today. I just wrote a very, like, one paragraph thing.
God wants to be God in the law of life.
He wants to be our God, your God, in the law of life, in the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But if you're not a spiritual person, then you can't talk to God, because he's a spirit. You have a spirit too, and if you say you're saved, when your spirit's woken up, it's alive now. And you need to start using it to talk to the Lord, don't you think?
Amen.
Because the Lord has saved me from many perils by talking to me in the Spirit. And I just can't go into all of them. There's so many of them that I just couldn't. And I talk to him every day, and he tells me what to write. He tells me, and he gives me things to say that have never been known to anybody. It just isn't explained in the Bible. He's revealed the whole Antichrist system to me, which I'm putting in my next tract, in my next newsletter. And nobody has ever gotten that yet. Everybody is looking for one man, an Antichrist, the Antichrist, the man of perdition, all that sort of thing. But it happens to be a kingdom of men. An entire kingdom of men. There's only two men. All the men of Satan are in one body. Then that body's name is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is actually Satan. And the spirit of Satan is living in a nation of Antichrists. And the Christian, who are members of Christ's body, are living in one body too, the body of Christ. And Christ is living in their bodies. Amen?
Amen.
And there's so much more that the Lord has shown me. I've written, how many pages is that tract now? The one 11 page tract. And I'm not even done with it yet. It's deep and it takes time. And all the Christians in the world are just looking for one man. We're just waiting for the Antichrist to come. And they're all wet. So that's how I can tell that they don't know the Spirit. They don't know the Spirit. Or otherwise, they're not mature in the Spirit. Because the Lord reveals these things to me. Not them. You know, you can pick up any writings, and because it's deep. A lot more to talk about the Antichrist moving into the temple of God. The only temple of God is human beings. Amen? The born-again Christians, members of Christ's body. So they're actually moving in, and they say, no, you cannot. Once you're a Christian, you're always a Christian. Well, then what is the big falling away then? And why is it saying that Satan is going to sit down in the midst of God's holy temple? Well, all the members of Christ's body are his holy temple, built up to be a temple for him to live in. Amen?
Amen.
And then it says that he'll sit in the midst of the holy mount, the mountain of God, the glorious mountain of God. Well, the mountain in the Bible is symbolic of nation, the nation of God. We're a new nation, a new nationality of people, and he's going to sit down in the midst, right inside born-again Christians, mockers and scoffers, people that think it's funny. Those are the ones that he's already putting his mark on. There's a great falling away, and Satan has made it look like a revival. And it's not it's a fake revival. And there's much more. But go ahead and read what I've written.
Does God continually grow and move in you?
Does he? Is God growing in you? Yeah, I don't see any change in a lot of people. They're the same every day, and some days they're worse. Some days they're like they act really happy, and the next day they're got scowls all over their faces. I mean, they just never grow. And you can tell that God is not moving and building constantly in them. But the Lord is moving in me, I know that, and there must be there's other people, but for sure that he's moving in. Read that line again.
Does God continually grow and move in you?
Well, if he grows in you, then why haven't you changed? Why aren't these signs that follow those that believe in you? You know, I've laid hands on people that a dead person he raised from the dead. For sure. And he was dead for about a half hour to 45 minutes. And I went over and he was not breathing. He was cold as ice. I prayed to the Lord and he caused it to rain, and I prayed to the Lord and he caused the rain to stop. Because I wanted to go shopping. We were going to take some people to a dentist and it was pouring down rain. I said, Lord, stop the rain, because we didn't bring umbrellas or something. And he did instantly, right?
Yes.
It didn't look like it would ever end. It's happened many times. These are signs that follow those that believe. I've laid hands on people and they get healed every day. They're never dead. It goes a day by. That I don't talk to the Lord in the Spirit, with my Spirit to his Spirit. What's the matter with you? What's the matter? What's the matter? People never exercise their Spirit. They talk with their mouth, that's what the Lord says, but their heart, the heart means the Spirit, is far from me. When the Lord talks about the heart, he's talking about your Spirit that's in the heart of your body. We have two hearts, yes. Does your spirit have ears? Mine does. I've heard it. I hear him talk in my spirit. I heard one of those preachers mock, because God spoke to my heart. He says, all that means is the Lord spoke to your spirit. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to the Apostle Paul. That's why nobody else in the room heard the Lord but me. Because he didn't audibly speak. And that's why the people that were with Paul never heard the Lord speak because he was talking to the spirit of Paul. And if you're talking to the Lord, if he's talking to you, nobody else can hear in the room what he's saying. I can be sitting here and I'm praying, Lord, is this person telling me the truth? And the Lord will tell me yes or no. I mean, it started out when we first had our church in Crescent Heights. We had one on Carlos Avenue first, but the Lord would talk to me all the time. And a bunch of these real scruffy looking hippies come up to me after the service and says, can we have some money to go get some bread and things like that? And I was going to say, yeah, sure, you think I'm going to trust you guys with money? The Lord says, give it to them. And so I immediately just reached in my pocket and shelled it out to them. I've been doing that ever since. Now, what would that have been if they would have heard me say, they never stole the money, they went and got the bread and the other things that they were asking to get. The Lord wanted me to trust a bunch of dirty, filthy-looking hippies with long hair, guys that with long hair. And I never did, I never would have, because I didn't really like hippies. But when the Lord tells me to like them, I do it. And I really don't judge people by the way they look. I watch the way they are, though. That's all I have to do is, you know, the Lord says for us to watch and to measure people by the way they are, by the word. And if they're laughing at something that's holy, and especially when you're trying to explain it, well, it sounded funny the way you said it. Well, it didn't sound funny to me. It was frightening. I thought at that time the Lord was going to take the spirit right out of my body. I thought I was dying right then, on many occasions. And the time I was sleeping on my stomach and the Lord showed me how fast he takes the soul out of a body and slings it into hell, it was like you don't even have the time to say, ah, that's how fast you're in hell. There was like the skies. He showed me a vision where the skies were totally cloudy and real dark and cloudy. And he just pulled me up through the clouds, a little hole open in the clouds, and then slung me right down through it just to show you how fast a person goes to hell. And it went this fast. It went... Are you going to say, please, no, Lord? It's too slow. And it wouldn't do you any good anyway. It doesn't make any difference to say anything once you're going to hell anyway. It's just... So he doesn't want to hear any lip. He doesn't want to hear any phony excuse. He won't tolerate it. Now the Bible says that the Lord is good, but he also is severe. And Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I preach. Because he'll throw my soul into hell too, he said, if I don't. And if you think you can get by with not being examples of the Lord, that's your carnal brain telling you that. That certainly isn't the Spirit of the Lord telling you that. And your spirit is influenced by your stupid brain. You should make your spirit influence your brain and shut it off and put on the mind of Christ, the Word of God, so that you can know the truth. Okay, now go ahead with what... The reason I didn't write much is because I knew I was going to expound on this tonight, okay? Okay, then go ahead.
Does God continually grow and move in you? If he does, let me say that the continual moving of God's life in us has a big purpose.
Oh, a great purpose. Amen. Now that's what makes you pure, when you can feel yourself change, him growing up in you, and you change every day. That's the movement of growth and the Lord moving you to do certain things. Like his Lord spoke to me, he says, this church is falling apart. Everybody's just doing their own thing. I know that the Lord says they're not reading. And if they are reading, they don't understand what they're reading. You read the word to them. And ever since that day, I started reading, the money started coming in. Our bills are all paid now. And it just keeps coming in. And we're even paid in advance on our bills. And we're even able to do some building now. And we were even able to send out a lot of literature all over the world now. We were 9 months behind in Africa, and we're all caught up now. Huh? Isn't that great? And then all over the country, we're all caught up, aren't we?
Yeah.
Amen. And what's more, you know, there'll be more going out tomorrow. So that's great movement, and the Lord moving to show me this. I didn't know, I wasn't talking about money or anything. I just, it's falling apart. I wasn't concerned about the money. We didn't have money. We, even at Christmas time, I said, we cannot, let's just rely on the donations that come in for presents. Amen?
Amen.
And then all of a sudden, all our bills are paid now. And in advance. And now we can build. And all the tracks are going out now. Months behind. They're all caught up now. We're just waiting for more orders. All right? So it's beautiful to be hearing from the Lord. And it isn't because of these people that laugh and mock and scoff at the gospel that's coming in. They're not them at all. They're freeloaders and spongers, you know, users. But it's by, because the Lord knows when he shows me that the church is falling apart. And that they're, maybe if they're not reading the word, and if they do, they're not understanding it. Well then, he says, now you read. You read to him then. I said, but I already told him the gospel. You know, you got to tell him again, there's a whole new crop of people, okay? But these older Christians are supposed to have told him, but they didn't. They failed. They're failures. They don't even read with their own children. So you read. So that's what I'm doing this for, okay? Because the Lord told me. Right? And did it pay off?
Yes.
Right. All right, then let's go.
In Hebrews 8:10, he says, I will be a God to them, and they shall be a people to me.
Yeah, I'll be a God to them that I'm in, if I'm in you, and talking to you, and you're talking to me, we're communicating to each other, we're dining with each other, you're dining on me, you're drinking of me, and eating, drinking my blood, and eating my flesh, eating my word, then I'm your God. And you're my people. But anybody that's not talking to me, I mean, I love it when my little daughter or my sons or somebody tell me, hi, Dad, or something like that, you know. Yeah, but if they just walk by me and pay no attention to me, I don't like that very much. And when people are not paying any attention to the Lord that manufactured you and then died for you and then wants to live in you and use you and he wants to be your God and he wants you to be his people and you're not at all concerned about that, but you've got something else on your mind during the day and you never communicate to him in the spirit, and what's more, you don't even know how to communicate it to him by the Spirit. The only way that you can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not through your mind saying, thank you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, praise, all that sort of thing. But it has to come from your spirit if you're doing that. Can't be lip service, all right? Okay? He says, you know, you approach to me with your lips, but your spirit is far from me. Your heart, your spirit. Okay, go ahead.
Hebrews 8:10, I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This shows us what is on God's heart and what his purpose is from eternity to eternity.
That's what he wants. Okay, then what?
God wants to be our God, our Heavenly Father, in heaven and on earth.
Right, the Lord, there's about 100 names for God in the Bible, but really he wants us to be, he wants to be our Father. Amen?
Amen.
And he wants us to be his sons. He wants to be our Father. And that's the first thing that comes out of our mouth when we're saved, is Father. Okay? So you don't have to know all the other names of the Lord. You know, Jehovah Jireh and Elohim and all the other names. Just Father's good. Amen?
Amen.
And so when you're praying to him, you should pray, Our Father. So they asked Jesus, how do you pray? He didn't say, O Elohim. He says, Our Father, who art in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're His sons and daughters. Amen?
Amen.
He's our dad. Amen?
Amen.
Hallowed be thy name. Holy be is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth. That means we're earthen vessels. Okay? In earth here, as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Let his will be done in us, the earth. We're earthen vessels. Amen?
Amen?
As it is in heaven. Give us this day the food that we need, the food and drink. You're praying in the Spirit. And Lord God, I don't know what it's like for you to talk to my spirit. Now, I'm not talking me, I'm saying you. Pray, God, I've never felt you talk to me in the Spirit. Lord, you say you answer prayers, and I know that your word is the truth. Talk to me in the Spirit. Let me talk to you in the Spirit. And Lord, I know that I'm not going to be afraid when you talk to me, because it's the most pleasant thing in the world when the Lord speaks to you. He is your Father, and he's not going to hurt you. The one you're not afraid of, which is the devil, you shouldn't be afraid of him either, but only if you're in the Lord. But the Lord is not going to hurt you, okay?
Amen.
That is, unless you're just ignoring him, or and you're just going to, you're not paying attention, you're not worshiping him in spirit, or speaking to him in with your spirit, and according to the Word of God, which says that he's a spirit, and he wants those that worship him or communicate to him, do it in the spirit and in truth. Then what?
He wants us to be his people, his sons.
His sons, yeah. Then what?
I mean, according to the law of life in Christ Jesus.
The spirit of the law, you know, in the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
This the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Okay, then what?
This is true, real, and wonderful. Tomorrow we will see how important a matter in the universe this is.
Okay. Right. That's why I only did a little thing here and a little introduction to what tomorrow. And we'll go from there. Amen?
Amen.
So this is Tony Lama. Lord bless. And till tomorrow we'll be doing a first chapter of 2 Timothy. All right. Praise the Lord. Lord willing.